We cannot just go with the fear, you know. We have to get over it and go to a positive experience, you know. That's the key here.
All right, that's one of the voices from the Boston Marathon. Hi, Al Schneider. That's who that was. Kate Delaney saying hello to all of you across America. Thanks for joining us on ATN as we kick off yet another week with so much to dive into. One thing's for sure, the lawmakers won't be diving into anything significant because most are away. It's a vacation break and Easter break for 2 weeks. So it'll be pretty quiet, let's say, coming out of Foggy Bottom. And coming back, there'll be a ferocious push to try and make maybe a few things happen or to not have to answer anything tough. And the reason is because we'll get closer and closer before you know it to those midterm elections. And the midterm elections are what have left a lot of people fearful for not only their jobs, but also what's going to happen as far as the demographics are concerned, especially in the Senate. There are a few who actually think the Senate will fall to the elephants this time around and will not be heavily Democratic. In other words, the majority will swing to the GOP. I would be remiss to not give you more details about the Boston Marathon. What a great celebration that turned out to be. So many on Patriots Day showed up to honor and recognize the fact, I guess, of what happened last year, but not to dwell on what happened last year, but to be there to celebrate that we're strong and we're back, and two bombs and three people, actually four people all told, and 260-plus injured can't keep us down. That was the whole Boston Strong thing in the first place. And that's pretty much what you saw if you have seen anything coming out of Boston. So an American, not American born, but an American nonetheless, wins the Boston Marathon on the men's elite side in 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 37 seconds, which was incredible. I mean, and this is a runner who won the 2004 Olympic Marathon silver medal and the 2009 New York City Marathon. How these people do it professionally, just anybody actually running in this race, I have no idea. I think it'd be so tough. So the first man, U.S. man, to win since 1983, and it was a shocking upset that Meb Kofazgi, I think is how you say it, Kofleski, I think, I'm not sure the last name, but Meb, let's just call him Meb for the sake of making it easy, won the marathon, and it's huge because this is one of the world's oldest annual races, and the fact that somebody that could drape themselves an American flag is pretty darn big, and he was pretty excited about it, and you could see that as he crossed the finish line again and again and again. So how about that? You know, as it's been shown many, many, many times. And overall, it wasn't about time, except for the elite runners, but otherwise it was more about just making it happen. Just being there, just celebrating, and with so many people, an extra 9,000 in the race. Part of that because people who didn't finish last year were allowed to stick around, or come back rather, to finish the marathon. And that made a huge difference, I think, in the numbers swelling in the streets. But everybody obeyed what was pretty much the golden rule there, no bags. After the backpacks were so deadly last time around, there was no reason to take a chance on that, so the backpacks were gone, the bags were gone, and people filled the sidelines and were there at the finish line and shouting for people along the way, and encouraging them. So all in all, it was a terrific Boston Marathon. They pulled it off. And it, like I said, it wasn't about dwelling on what happened last year. It was about moving ahead. And I think that they absolutely executed it perfectly. And thank goodness, because last year was such a rough time for the city of Boston. And so many of us were just spectators looking in, watching what was happening. We had Robert Siciliano on the show who described as he was running, he didn't get the finish and his family was there, and how worried he was that something had happened to his two young children, which thank goodness that didn't happen. But there were stories like that over and over and over again. The sad tale of losing children has shifted to South Korea. The death toll in the South Korea ferry incident has been just absolutely disastrous. 100 plus bodies now have been pulled from the water, and there's more to come. The divers certainly know that they're having a very tough time, as there are still almost 200 people missing. Thank goodness 179 were rescued, but it's sad because what you have, to be blunt about it, bodies coming out, corpses coming out of the water, they drape them, they drape them in cloth so that, you know, out of respect, but then they're driven in ambulances to two tents, one for men and boys, the other for women and girls. And the families listen outside as they brief them, then they line up and file in, only relatives are allowed in. Then they say there's just this sort of this silence, and then cries, wailing, howling, of course, because they've been waiting since Wednesday. I think there's this disbelief. How can it be that these teenagers were killed? How can it be that this ferry sunk? And the captain initially told passengers to stay in their rooms, and they waited more than half an hour to issue an evacuation order as the boat was sinking. By then, the ship had tilted so much that a lot of the passengers were just trapped inside and they couldn't get out anyway. And, of course, the president of South Korea is furious and said that what the captain and part of the crew did was unfathomable, as he described it, from the viewpoint of common sense. It's unforgivable, murderous behavior. And those comments have been popped up all over the place. So the captain, Lee Jun-shuk, and several crew members have been arrested on suspicion of negligence, abandoning people in need, and they're pursuing a whole bunch of other charges as well. And it's just awful. A half an hour is a long time. They could have lowered lifeboats. They could have gotten a lot of people off, and who knows if they could have gotten everyone off, but they certainly would have gotten many, many more people off. And there were so many rescue boats that came to their aid immediately as soon as it happened. The captain is trying to say the water and the currents, it was too fast, and that's the reason why he wouldn't do that. But I'm not buying that, and I think most aren't, because there would be a great chance that they would have been pulled from the water anyway. All right, you don't want to miss our next segment. Coming up, we're going to talk about the government and several departments buying up ammunition. We're going to do that with a Second Amendment fighter named Alan Gottlieb on the flip side here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
This is Bill Brown, Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, unfunded entitlements, looming Obamacare, the death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you are concerned about maintaining your purchasing power, consider this. Gold and silver are up 497% in 13 years. Call me, 800-686-2237, extension 332. Together we can discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Analysts agree the dollar's problems are increasing. Call me, Bill Brown, 800-686-2237 at extension 332, and we'll discuss your option of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA. Don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar collapses. Call me, Bill Brown, at Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237, extension 332.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. Announcing all new Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary new way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-721-4255 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is a modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. And more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-721-4255. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. You won't see this limited-time offer on TV. It's a radio exclusive. 1-800-721-4255. 1-800-721-4255.
So welcome back to America Tonight. So I think you're really going to enjoy our next guest, Alan Gottlieb. He's the chairman of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. You know how I feel about the Second Amendment. He is the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. And, you know, we're always talking about taking liberties away and some of the strange things that we've been seeing. Specifically, Alan's going to talk about what people on the left and the right are actually agreeing about when it comes to some of the law enforcement divisions in our government as part of, you know, our federal agencies. And specifically, and we've talked about this, the arms and what's happening there, like NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, recently purchased 72,000 rounds of 40 Smith and Wesson. I mean, what are they doing there with that kind of ammo? And this is following, this is on the heels of 46,000 rounds of 40s of S&Ws that they bought up previously. And this was by the National Weather Service, as we specifically wanted to point there. We talked about this on the air. So, Alan, first of all, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
My pleasure to be with you.
Okay, so the most recent one, and we'll talk about the others that I briefly glossed over, but the most recent thing that really raised a red flag is what's going on with the U.S. Postal Service?
Yeah, when the U.S. Postal Service is buying hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition, one has to really wonder. I mean, there are some postal inspectors that are armed and go through training, each year, but nowhere near the kind of ammunition that, you know, that they're buying. We have that, you know, like the IRS, as an example, has bought hundreds and thousands of rounds of ammunition for training. And, I mean, very few IRS agents are armed. I mean, there's enough ammunition to last for decades. And the crazy part is, as you're aware, ammunition prices are like sky high. And supplies are, you know, are really tight. So when the government buys these kinds of volumes of ammunition, it dries up the consumer market so that consumers can't find ammunition on the store shelves.
Yeah, so what is the deal with that? What do you make of this? When you start to poke around, what do you get back? Because I'll tell you what, you don't get much back when you're on the journalist side, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're right, but I don't get much back either because the government's pretty close mouthed about why they need this kind of ammunition, these kinds of volumes. And, you know, there's actually millions of rounds been bought by various government agencies that have, you know, small law enforcement divisions, so to speak. And that goes on top of the millions of rounds that the Department of Homeland Security, you know, has bought. I mean, most TSA agents are not armed. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, except that I think the government is trying to dry up the consumer market. The Obama administration is trying to make it harder for civilians to be able to have ammunition for their firearms.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that's certainly what it seems like. I know people have told me where when they normally would be able to go to, let's even say, just Walmart, and they go to get ammunition, and the well is dry. And, I mean, there is nothing on the shelves, and they're waiting for a shipment, and people are lined up to get what's left, you know, ultimately the crumbs. So it does seem rather strange, and as you said, driving up the price too. What's the danger of this? So let's say somebody's listening right now and they say, oh, who cares? Come on, they're going to make more. So if you want your ammunition, you'll get it. What is the danger for people who are doubters?
Well, I think the danger really is why do we need all these government non-law enforcement agencies, so to speak, armed to the teeth? What are they going to do with this ammunition? Why are they buying it? I mean, it doesn't give you a warm and fuzzy feeling, and not just if you're a gun owner per se, but, you know, just think if you're a taxpayer, you're buying this stuff when it's the price is at the peak of the market. Why doesn't the government wait until the prices come down when the demand is down or there's more ammunition being produced? Why, you know, why are you wasting taxpayers' dollars at a time like this? None of this makes any sense. I don't believe in any conspiracy theories, but I'll tell you, it shows how stupid the government can be.
Boy, no kidding. That's true. You know, as I mentioned this, talking about the Second Amendment, and obviously you're the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. While we have you here, it's worth talking about this. What are some of the big challenges to the Second Amendment right now?
Well, of course, we've seen lots of challenges in some of what we call the really blue states like New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, California. But the gun rights movement is also on the offensive and a lot of legal action. We just won a very nice case in the state of California that sort of challenged their reason why you have to show need to be able to get a permit to carry a firearm for self-protection. And we have a very big case like that known as Drake right now, awaiting to see if the Supreme Court will grant cert to hear another case. New Jersey has this crazy statute that you have to show justifiable need before they'll give you a permit to carry a firearm for self-protection. You have to have it signed off by local police officers, and you have to go to court and get a judge to sign off on it as well. You know, you don't have to show justifiable need to exercise any of your other constitutional rights. And so we have this case right now before the Supreme Court, and at any time now the court can decide to hear the case or not hear it, and we're deciding they choose to hear it and grant cert and hear it the next term.
Yeah. Do you find that is something that I mentioned is worth mentioning? And actually, it's interesting because it's a line that somebody sent to me from a little bio about you, and it made me think about this because I talk about this on the air. Isn't it great when you finally have the left and the right come together? And you're seeing that more and more over some of these issues, especially with what we just talked about when you're talking about the arming up and all this ammunition that's disappearing for, you know, like the Postal Service. And I think that makes it much stronger when you've got both sides saying, okay, we're in agreement on this, don't you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, what does the National Weather Service need, you know, tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition for? You know, I don't understand. What, I mean, are they going to change our weather, you know, if it's threatening God or something, if it's going to rain? I don't mean that. It makes no sense at all. And you know, things like in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, what are they purchasing ammunition for? Are they going to go shoot fish? I mean, this whole the thing doesn't make any sense. Department of Education has been building a massive arsenal to purchases. What does the Department of Education, U.S. Department of Education, need ammunition for? I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. So tell me this. How did you get so deep into this, Alan? What drove you, the passion for that? Because your background, if somebody were just to look at the very first steps that you took, you're a nuclear engineering graduate from the University of Tennessee. And, you know, we go through different levels of what you've done. And, of course, you've been involved politically, and you certainly got some of that from Georgetown University. But how did you jump into the passion over the Second Amendment?
Well, I guess while I was in college, I got very passionate about individual rights, individual freedom, and protecting the Bill of Rights. And the one area of the Bill of Rights that's under constant attack is the Second Amendment. So I spent a lot of time studying the Second Amendment and came to realize how important it really was and how the founders put it in there for very good reasons. And then I became a Second Amendment rights activist.
Do you think as an activist for the, you know, Second Amendment, do you think that down the road that some of the states that have, because of course, as you know, this gun laws are all over the place when it comes to various states. Do you think that we'll see more concealed and carried? Do you think we'll see more people getting that permit and that'll open up in some states that we might be surprised by?
Well, we now have over 8.5 million people that are licensed to carry a firearm for self-protection in our country. And of course, we just, with a lawsuit, the Second Amendment Foundation, one known as Moore versus Madigan, forced the state of Illinois, which is the last state that wouldn't allow any form of carry at all, to pass a concealed carry law. And now we're going to have hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Illinois, you know, adding to the 8 million plus people allowed to carry. The only place where they don't issue permits at all right now in the United States really is the city of Washington, D.C. We have a case known as Palmer versus D.C. that's working its way through the court system right now. Hopefully to knock that out. But the bottom line is that we're seeing more and more people getting permits to carry all the time. There's been a very large increase, like 10-12% a year for the last 2 or 3 years. So, yeah, the trend is in that direction.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see as that unfolds, I think, in the next couple of years especially. And the other big area that people are talking about is schools, you know, with the tragedies at some of the schools, certainly it's awful. But the push-pull over guns, and then you saw in Pennsylvania where the kid sadly came to school and it wasn't about guns. He was, you know, stabbing people. And certainly we don't want to see anything happen in the schools. But are you for the right to maybe arm a few teachers or to have armed guards? Or what do you think has to happen in these various schools across the country?
Well, I think if teachers are licensed to carry and are trained, there's no reason why they shouldn't be allowed to. They shouldn't have to give up their rights when they enter their place of employment in the schools. I mean, you know, armed guards make a whole lot of sense. Obviously, it's a budget problem. But, you know, there's a lot of retired military people and a lot of retired police officers that would be more than happy to volunteer their time. There's lots of ways this could be done. I mean, right now, we have these so-called gun-free zones, be it a mall, be it a movie theater, be it a school. I mean, that's a magnet for crazy people to go to and you know, and with impunity, you know, just kill innocent civilians that are unarmed. It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, where we've seen, you know, malls that allow people to have firearms or schools that, you know, somebody there had a firearm to protect the students, we've seen, you know, lots of lives saved. So I just can't see having innocent people being sitting ducks, being unarmed, when you know, you put up a sign, gun-free school zone, that's just a magnet for somebody who wants to create havoc.
Yeah, I agree. It's the opposite effect of supposedly what was intended. Alan Gottlieb, chairman of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
It's my pleasure.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. mbrower@gcnlive.com. That's mbrower@gcnlive.com.
I'm David Cordani, President and CEO of Cigna. We're proud to support the March of Dimes by walking in the March for Babies. It feels great to know that the money we raise funds life-saving research and programs that improve the health of babies. With your help, we can make this year better than ever. Join Cigna and our coworkers across the country in March for Babies to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org and march to help our babies. Thank you.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
Frostbite, and he wasn't in an exposure suit, and he didn't have a tank of oxygen to suck on under pressure. I just don't see how he could be alive. It is feasible that he was in a baggage compartment, concocted this story, slipped out, went over to the wheel well, got up, and got down. I mean, there are numerous possibilities here.
Blame a 16-year-old wanting to go to Maui, Hawaii? Did he or didn't he fly for free from San Jose to Maui as a stowaway in a wheel well? You just heard John Nance, one of the most respected ex-aviation guys in the biz of commenting now on all things aviation, saying that he's not so sure about that. Is it a tall tale, or is it the truth? See, here's the thing. I really think he hitched a ride for sure. He had a comb in his pocket. That's it. No clothes, no nada, nothing, right? I don't think it's impossible, based on some things that other people have said. He's unbelievably lucky. He jumps a fence, gets in the wheel well, which is about the size or even actually smaller than a trunk, and he's unconscious for most of the flight. How he didn't freeze to death, how he didn't just pass out and die, I mean, it's amazing. It is. It's amazing that he was able to do that. 5.5 hours of a flight. So no oxygen, cold. The life expectancy has to really be not that great, like what, minutes? So he defied the odds, right? 38,000 feet, no oxygen, sub-zero temperatures, sounds unlikely. that he could be in that tiny cramped compartment for that long, but not impossible. Other stowaways have done a few things similar to that. Not very many at the high altitudes, because you get, although they describe it as being in a hibernative state is what the FAA says. So it's not impossible that somebody could slip into unconsciousness so the body would cool and the central nervous system is preserved. There could be a situation where in the bay it's warmer than the external air temperature and you wouldn't have that instantaneous freezing of the skin. But it is crazy. It's crazy that he would do that. It's crazy that he made it. Is it just dumb, crazy luck or what? I mean, did he just go into that sort of suspended animation? Because he doesn't remember. They say no adult would have survived that. So his age was also in his favor. Does he get permanent brain damage from the experience? They say it's more likely than not that he might have neurological issues, memory problems, all that kind of stuff. And the ground crew at Kahului is blown away. They just saw him wandering the tarmac, dazed and confused. Does he, you know, frostbite, kidney injury, any of that kind of stuff? They're looking into it. It didn't appear that way. So, in other words, running more tests. And San Jose, what's going on? And do you know the way to San Jose? Do they know how to secure the airport? Apparently not. Now, and here's the thing. Nobody's taking any action against the kid. San Jose says they're not going to take any action. They're not going to do anything. He didn't pose a threat. The FBI dropped out of the investigation. The boy is in the custody of child welfare services workers in Hawaii at this point. And they're saying that they're told the boy's family that he's safe. I mean, how is it that no one noticed him, though? Surveillance footage shows him hopping clearly the fence at that airport. Then there's camera footage of him walking across the ramp in San Jose toward the Hawaiian plane. So somebody was asleep at the wheel when he jumped into the wheel well of that plane. And an hour after the plane lands, he regains consciousness, emerges. I mean, it is the craziest tale. It really is. But I don't know how it could be false. There's no way it could be false, because you can't explain getting him there from San Jose otherwise. He came out of the wheel well. He walked to the front of the plane. That's where they saw him. The airport manager said that clearly there was a security breach. And that's, I think, a big concern in this post 9/11 world, right? Getting past all sorts of people unnoticed. I mean, that's a pretty big feat, I would say. And what also is weird, and this is the first thing I thought of, how did he not get crushed or fall? I mean, it's not necessarily hard to climb inside the wheel well. You grab onto the struts, and the landing gear, they say, is like a ladder. You just jump on the tire and climb onto the wheel well. But you don't have a lot of room in there. I guess that doesn't matter. The tire will fold in when it closes after takeoff, but then there's a risk of getting crushed once the gear starts going. Ugh, even thinking about it makes me nauseous. I can't even believe it. So you think about this, I guess, I mean, you're pretty exposed inside that well, but there's things you could hold on to. But holding on to it for the whole flight for 5.5 hours, maintaining your grip when the gear opens up, not falling out. I mean, you'd get dragged in the runway. You'd get mangled. To me, this story is incredibly fascinating. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Is it possible for a stowaway to get to other parts of the plane through the wheel well? I guess you'd have to know how, but you could do it. The passenger cabin, you would still have to know it. Remember, in February, at the Washington airport, they found the body of a man inside the landing gear well of an Airbus. That was a South African Airways flight. And a couple of years ago, well, now it's been a little bit longer, I think 2010, a 16-year-old boy died when he fell out of the wheel well of a U.S. Airways flight that was landing at Boston's Logan International Airport. But there have been other people that have survived it, that have snuck on and have been able to do it. So, the stowaway thing is people desperately trying to escape their countries and, you know, sneaking out. And just, it is still just amazing. For 5.5 hours, you were stuck there. You have no idea. He could have survived the entire flight, then fell at the last second when they were landing, being dragged by the plane or, you know, whatever. I hope that somehow there is more details to this, because it'd be great to know, out of curiosity, how he survived that. And I really think he survived it. I don't think this is any kind of a weird hoax or anything like that. He was there. They saw him get out of the plane, the wheel well. And it's crazy. There have been 105 stowaways that have made those attempts since 1947, they say. Known, anyway. 25 have survived. But it's a huge security breach. Huge. I wonder if he's with the Child Welfare Services. Would they feel badly for him? Would they take him, like, out to some of the most beautiful beaches in the world? I mean, not for nothing, but Hawaii is incredible, right? So, hey, you know what? It's amazing what happened with you. Guess what? We're going to take you to Paia and let you stand on one of the most magnificent beaches in the world and watch the surfers, you know? Yeah, we're going to do that for you. We're going to take you up and let you see a little bit of Hawaii while you're here. I don't know what the rules are there, but I would think if somebody was with them in Child Protective Services, wouldn't it be great if they did that? So while everybody else debates on could you survive in the well and how did that not happen and what about his family and what about airport security, let everybody else debate that. But I say when he's in Hawaii, let him eat some mahi-mahi. Let him travel around the island. Why not? Give him some snorkel gear. Let him go out on one of the boats. Take him out on one of the boats. And let him really experience Malakini and Maui and everything that it has to offer for that death-defying feat of his. He didn't hurt anybody. But he could have killed himself. Just, amazing. Amazing that he was able to withstand that. And think of where he went, 38,000 feet. 38,000 feet oxygen deprivation. And then if you're knocked unconscious or you're hibernating, what are you hanging on to? I mean, there's just so many questions about this, I think. I just, nothing but questions. I don't know. Give him some macadamia nuts. Let him go to Lahaina. Something. Take him to the banyan tree. Take him to the banyan tree. I would be curious, and I actually have written a note to somebody about that. I've not gotten an answer back. I'd be curious as to if there is a little bit of that. I mean, he's hanging out in Hawaii. He risked his life. It's a crazy thing. Why not let him experience a little bit of Hawaii while he's there until they send him back to the mainland? Wow. Good for him that he survived that, because that is an insane, insane story. All right, stay with us. Some more odds and ends on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Springtime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Directions. You can always send us your thoughts to us at americatonight.net. You know, there's so much going on, the big heavy things that I think we're still just astounded that the 777 has disappeared off the radar, but now that's been so long. You know, we're going on near 50 days with that and the search, the nonsense back and forth from Malaysia Air. Malaysia Air just had another incident where they had a blown-out tire and had to turn around. Their luck certainly has not been the best. And how they inform people in these crises is just pathetic. I think you'll see that they're going to have a hard time coming up. But they do have a captive audience because of where they're flying from. There's some competition, but not quite as much competition. As if they were flying somewhere out of the United States, it would be a much different situation for sure. This is something that we talked about forever and ever and ever and ever, and we've had Jeff Atticott on, our terrorism expert. We just heard from him the other night talking about the Ukraine and whatnot. But Afghanistan and the cycle in Afghanistan, the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan may be cut below the 10,000 number after 2014. There still is some strange things happening there. And the strangest is, what's the deal with the administration and the government? Reuters first reported that as few as 5,000 troops is one of the options that's actually being discussed at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The Pentagon and the State Department throwing in their 2 cents. And how many troops should remain in the country after we withdraw later this year? I mean, think about it. We're not too far away from that happening. Since I've been doing this show, not quite as long as Afghanistan, but more than halfway through it, we had talked about the troops forever. And how many people do you need to train the Afghan forces? I bet you they really dropped that number. Right now, there are 33,000 troops in Afghanistan. The peak was 100,000, as you know. The top general in Afghanistan, Joe Dunford, said a smaller force than 10,000 would have trouble defending itself. So it'd be endanger our troops. That'd be great. So we're going to have less than 10,000, perhaps, but we'd endanger our own people. The Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, has refused to sign a security agreement that would allow for a smaller U.S. peacekeeping force to stay in his country past 2014. But the leading candidate in the election to replace him, which we won't know for a couple different weeks, is saying, yeah, I'll sign it. I'll do that. So we're on the bubble when it comes to that. Are we going to sign it or not? Depends on who's in, because Karzai is just poking us in the eye. He's waiting till the very last second to make a decision on signing that or not, so it would be far better if somebody were to step in and replace Karzai. It'd be better for most likely American interests. What happens to Afghanistan anyway when we leave? Does it just fall back into the hands mostly of the Taliban or not? And the stories, speaking of mixed stories, the stories that we get out of the Ukraine are like they're like grim fairy tales, aren't they? How many boots are on the ground? What is the intent of the troops and why are they there? Because, oh, it looks like civil unrest all over the Ukraine. People have gone crazy. So the State Department is now talking about photo evidence that shows Russian troops in the Ukraine when they're trying to deny that's happening. The government's been circulating the images over the last couple of days to international organizations saying they show Russian sabotage reconnaissance groups that are clearly working in two eastern Ukrainian towns. So that's more evidence of a connection between Russia and what is the armed military. The images clearly show that. And the photos, of course, are circulating on the heels of a diplomatic agreement in Geneva meant to stop all that tension in the eastern part of the Ukraine. And there was a terrible shootout on Sunday when there was an open fire situation. It's terrible because they're not expecting that. This is a stopping point. So all images all over the place are all over the map in the Ukraine. But clearly there are plenty, and the images we have show that clearly they show people who are tied to Russia, which is exactly what they wanted. The New York Times initially reported on the picture saying that they showed militants in eastern the Ukraine equipped in the same way as Russian forces. But Putin is denying his forces are in eastern Europe, and clearly they are in eastern Europe. I mean, look, this is the situation where you have to put up or shut up. You either stay out of this, or if you're in it, you have to smash down with massive sanctions. And the banking industry would cripple Russia, especially because this is where they'll have a chance to win. So that has to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. this is what we kept hearing. Oh, I will not put up with that and all this other stuff, which is just background noise because nothing of the sort is happening. So you either are or you aren't. You either believe in the plan or you don't. And that's where it's very murky in this situation. Very, very murky. Let's put it that way. A couple of other quick things to throw at you as we're hitting the exits for this hour here on ATN. There is a group suing a New Jersey school over Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, here we go again with the craziness that ensues when it comes to a few words. But a humanist group is suing the school over that exactly, saying that the phrase Under God in the Pledge of Allegiance is discriminatory toward atheist children. So the lawsuit against the Matawan Aberdeen Regional School District was filed in state court last month and announced Monday by the American Humanist Association. The group says the phrase, added in 1954, marginalizes atheist and humanist kids as something less than ideal patriots. So David Noyce, who's an attorney for the American Humanist Association, thinks that the legal center thinks that the public schools should not permit any exercise that teaches students that patriotism is tied to a belief in God. But the school district lawyer said that the district is merely following a state law that requires schools to have a daily recitation of the pledge. Daily reciting of the pledge. So the national organization is targeting Matawan Aberdeen for obeying the law, they say, as it stands. As you can imagine, there are a lot of conversations going on about this. Thanks so much for stopping by and listening to America Tonight.
For 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.